I think for like our first episode, I think it'd be really cool to talk about, as a WPA, Megan, can you talk through the choices that you've made here at the University of Arkansas for our writing program?
Absolutely. So my day job involves a lot of supporting new writing teachers, drafting and implementing programmatic policies, and collaborating with other folks on campus. In places like IT, Student Success, the Academic Integrity Office, none of this will be surprising to my fellow WPAs or anybody who's done any kind of writing program work. But by the time we got to the summer of 2023, so like last year, it was pretty clear to me that we needed a program-wide response to the use of AI writing tools in our classes specifically. As Maggie can attest, we don't have much of an institution-wide policy or policy discussion happening at Arkansas. There are, conversations happening in particular corners, but there's not like a rehashing or a rehearsing of that conversation widely or a big policy change
Actually,
that's
if I can
happened.
jump in just to like clarify what it is, essentially, it's up to individual instructors. Per our like academic integrity policy, if the teacher says it's okay, it's okay. And which I was actually like pretty grateful for, while working with Faculty Senate to like adopt the policy, because I was really worried that there would be like, a totalitarian response to it that would only harm students. And instead it was pretty chill. It was a lot more like reasonable than I expected, which is like, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So yeah, I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I was really pleased actually to see the care and thoughtfulness that I feel like is happening on our campus. There has not been a rush to additional surveillance tools. We are currently talking about AI detection tools and their
Ay.
future. I know it's exhausting, but it's been a careful conversation for the campus. But because, as Maggie said, there's this sort of up to the teacher kind of thing, I didn't want to put the onus and labor on first year teaching assistants teaching composition for the first time to make that sort of own, their own policies. And so what we did was sort of with Maggie's help and the help of the amazing assistant directors here, shout out to Kat Gray and Llewellyn Hallett, who are the wind beneath my wings, quite frankly. We developed syllabus statements and an instructional policy about large language models in our first year writing courses. And so in terms of policies for students, we basically told the TAs and instructors they could choose one of two paths. One, they could tell students that the things that we're doing in this class, the first year writing classes, the things we want to learn in this class, they're not really supported by these tools. So don't use them, please. Then on the other hand, we said, look, I'm going to give you some really clear opportunities to potentially use these. And then the TA and instructor has to figure out where in the writing process, which writing assignments, how that would work, what are the permissible places, and write those down for students so students had a clear understanding. And they had to tell students, look, you have to cite the outputs from the AI. So if you use it for brainstorming, you have to cite the ideas that came from the AI. If you use it for feedback or revision or ask it to, give you some sentences, you've got to quote those like you would quote any other source. And then they have to teach citation of the AI to their students in the first year writing class. In addition, for the TAs and instructors that picked that second policy, they also have to take some class time to read through and lead class discussions about one or more of the ethical questions surrounding AI, which, as we've already talked a little bit about, like there's a lot there. They could talk about the environmental consequences. They could talk about the impact on language variation and linguistic justice. They could talk about other kinds of ethical or intellectual property questions, labor questions. There's a whole range of ethical concerns related to generative AI. But they had to take on the labor of assigning and talking about and using class time to discuss with students what some of those issues were and how that might impact students' decision making around when or if to use these kinds of tools. Then on the faculty side, we said to our TAs and instructors, look, you one cannot use an LLM to give feedback to your students. Because especially in that first year, we saw people like on Twitter, Talking about putting student work into the AI and asking it to give feedback, like, absolutely not. Do not put your students' work into ChatGPT and ask it to give feedback. You can't feed your students' work into detectors. If you suspect unauthorized AI usage, you have to come talk to me, come talk to the writing program office. We will talk through your options and guide you through if it's necessary and reasonable, what our academic integrity office processes look like around this. But you have to come talk to me first, and we've got to talk through what you're thinking. No use of detectors on your own. And certainly, you cannot require students to use an LLM to complete some assignment or task in the class. So you can make it open to them, but you can't have an assignment in class where they have to put something into ChatGPT and see its outputs. They should get to decide how and whether they interact with this tool if they want to at all. And it's been a year and our house didn't fall down. The writing program is still standing. We did not have a huge influx of academic integrity cases or concerns. We did not add any additional surveillance or policing to our classes. And we're still focused on teaching the processes, habits, skills that we think set students up to become more thoughtful and confident readers and writers, which is ultimately the goal of the first year writing program. Right? Like, but I mean, I don't mean to sound Pollyanna about this. Like, I'm aware that there are ways that we have to adapt. There are problems that we have had this year, some of which are related to the AI and some of which are just related to being a big writing program with lots of humans in it. And I'm sure that there has been quote unquote unauthorized use of AI in by students in our classes
Oh no.
that nobody noticed or talked about, right? There's lots of challenges for sure, and there's going to be lots of challenges to come. But my experience as a WPA this year has really made me feel even more strongly that this is an option. The middle ground that you mentioned at the beginning is an option. Full-scale adoption, the inevitability discussion, I don't think is here yet. Maybe it's coming. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think we still have a chance right now to stop, think, talk, slow down, and be more critical of and skeptical of what's happening around us, especially regarding ed tech's entrance into the conversation, which was always going to happen as
It
soon as
was always going
ChatGPT
to
dropped.
happen. Yeah, there's so much that you just said that I want to respond to. I think, yeah, the way that the house didn't fall down, like you said, the fact that there's, you're getting ready for a whole new cohort of new teachers. I'm sure you and Kat and Llewellyn are thinking through all kinds of new ways to talk about this with students. I know, like, I'm going to come to orientation. We're going to have some chats about new ways to continue not doing the thing or to do the thing without disrupting the other work we do. And I guess, like, I feel very defensive about the position that we've took that we've chosen. And so I oftentimes feel myself like defending myself and like how we're doing it, especially when I see descriptions of, opposition and refusal characterized as moral. And listening to you and like through my own experiences working in this department with this policy paradigm, I'm convinced more and more that like refusal is just as disciplinary a choice as uptake. Perhaps more so, with our concerns about language diversity. I think like it is a really disciplinary stance, and talking with graduate teaching assistants and students and faculty in other departments here at the University of Arkansas, it showed me that there are many ways of teaching with AI, teaching AI without having to fully revise our course goals and classroom approaches to, take up the work of learning prompt engineering, for example. And like one of the main conversations I've had with folks is, okay, so you want to teach with ChatGPT. What will you have to give up in order to do that? We only get, 15, 16 weeks working with ChatGPT. It's not just a question of, is it, environmentally devastating, which it is, and that should maybe be enough, but it's a question of, is this what we want to give priority to? Is this the do we need to like subsume all that we do to make space for it? I think it's okay if we take time figuring out the answer to that question. You know, we're going into the second full year of ChatGPT, and I feel at home in a space where, you know, it feels like we're being attacked on all fronts. to use like a terrible metaphor, I guess, as like ed tech is encroaching from all corners. But you know, it's been okay, like taking the time to figure out, you know, what are we doing? I've also had like a lot of interesting conversations about what it means to make decisions as teachers based on what we can control, not on what we think students will do or are doing. That might be a future episode, though.
For sure.